Hey guys, I'm Ellen Glover, and this is the Indiana University Bicentennial Podcast. Picture this. It's a cold February day. Ice and snow coat the trees and walkways that make up Indiana University's campus. As you walk towards Kirkwood Hall, you notice something strange. It's a mass of men, dozens of them, brawling tooth and nail. Punches are being thrown, grown men are being tossed around like rag dolls. In all of this chaos, you realize that they are vying for one thing, a piece of cloth nailed to a tree. Believe it or not, had you been attending IU between 1820 and 1924, this wouldn't have been that strange of a sight, but rather an annual occurrence known among students as the class scrap. This IU tradition took on many forms throughout the years and was mainly around because for the first several years of IU, there were no organized sports. Some of these scraps were pretty violent and chaotic, but as the years passed and injuries and damaged property mounted, the school made the annual event more and more organized until it was gotten rid of in 1924. Class scrap tradition has a somewhat strange beginning. The first recorded scrap happened on February 22, 1820. Now, in those days, the sophomore class was required to study the Roman poet Horace. When the Horace lessons were finally over, the students were so fed up with him that they decided to set the books on fire in the middle of campus. For some reason, the freshmen strongly disagreed with this decision and tried to stop the sophomores. The altercation became a full-on brawl, and the class scrap was born. This particular form of class scrap, known as Burning of Horace, was on that same day each year. Through the years, this tradition actually became pretty elaborate. On a frigid February night, the sophomore class would congregate at a pre-designated spot on campus and prepare to give Horace its final rites. Somber speeches were made as if they were at a funeral. A hole was then dug in preparation for the ashes that would soon be planted there. However, it was the freshmen's job to stop the sophomores before they had the chance to send Horace up in flames. They would stop at nothing short of murder in order to rescue this book. After the burning of Horace became a yearly event, the freshman class decided they wanted their own tradition, so they created a freshman flag that they would hang up around campus. However, like the freshmen didn't want the sophomores to burn Horace, the sophomores didn't want the freshman flag waving all over campus, and so at every chance that they got, they would rip it down. And so, the two classes would get into a huge scrap. This soon became a freshman custom and was known as the flag rush. For a number of years, these scraps had little to no rules at all. Seniors and juniors would oversee as referees, but only to make sure no one killed each other. Other than that, there were very few regulations. And this led to some interesting tactics. 1906 stands out as one of the liveliest of all the years the flag rush was in existence. A freshman was walking through campus late at night through Dunn Woods on the eve of that year's flag rush. He spotted something strange in the distance. A dark figure appeared to be pushing something in and out of the basement of Kirkwood Hall. As you grew closer and closer, more and more of these dark figures came into view. Eventually, he realized that the figures he saw were sophomores pushing around wheelbarrows. He quickly rounded up some of the other freshmen to intervene on the strange event. As it turns out, the freshmen managed to stop a pretty elaborate plan to win the impending flag rush. The team of sophomores were in the midst of digging a tunnel when the freshmen happened upon them. The sophomores planned on tunneling from Kirkwood Hall's basement to the tree where the freshman flag would be pinned, thus surprising the unsuspecting freshmen from under the earth. But that year's sophomore class wasn't ready to give up. A few days later, they were caught once again in the middle of another elaborate preparation. This time, it was on Kirkwood Hall's roof. Another group of freshmen managed to confiscate a half-completed parachute the sophomores were making so they could spring an aerial attack on the day of the flag rush. But the class scraps didn't just entail the actual fight. The weeks leading up to the looming fight proved to be just as, if not more, treacherous than the brawls themselves. According to the Board of Trustees and student testimonial, freshmen were often tortured by sophomores and upperclassmen. Sophomores would attack young freshmen and cut their hair to the scalp. According to IU legend, any upperclassman who could manage to rub the bald head of a freshman would have good luck for the rest of the year. It was a common sight to see members of the junior and senior class rubbing the newly shaved heads of mortified freshmen. But the pre-scrap traditions usually grew even more ugly than that, if you can believe it. Students from both the freshman and sophomore class would get kidnapped by the opposing class so they couldn't participate in the scrap. Infamous of all of the pre-scrap shenanigans was when a group from the sophomore class of 1907 interrupted a freshman class meeting and tossed a quart of formaldehyde through an open window in order to break it up. That, and the couple of times when students leveled shotguns at each other, proved to be the last straw for William L'Brien, IU's president at the time, and influenced him to make some changes to this tradition. The first change was that both of the classes had to promise to abstain from the pre-scrap pranks, like the cutting of hair and the kidnapping. This promise had been made before by classes past, but it seemed that this time it stuck, more or less. Also, new and safer, more regulated games were scheduled to take the place of the violent scraps. First, Brian established an annual football game. The idea was that this would provide a more organized and regulated way for the classes to let off some steam. He and the Board of Trustees also established some acceptable, more organized scraps that could be held. One of these was the Cane Rush. The game required 8 representatives, 4 freshmen and 4 sophomores, to stand in the middle of the football field, all holding on to one large cane. These men were surrounded by the rest of the students in the sophomore and freshman classes, standing no less than 10 yards away. The members from the classes who surrounded the 8 men could charge and tussle so that by the end of the game, their class had the most hands on the stick. Another competition was pushball, a game that was loosely related to soccer. A large leather ball was placed at the center of the football field at the 50-yard line, and 50 members from both the sophomore and freshman classes would stagger evenly more or less around the field. The object of the game was to get the ball in the opponent's territory and score as many goals as possible. And finally, there was the bag contest. For this competition, 6 gigantic bags, each about 6 feet tall and stuffed with straw, were placed on each side of the football field, 3 on each goal line. Participants from each class had to try to move the heavy bags as far as they could across the field. Whichever class was able to push the bags the furthest was declared the winner. These more orderly scraps continued to be sanctioned by the school until class scraps and hazing were abolished entirely at Indiana University in 1924. This ban was put into place due to the uneven participation among classes, the overall difficulty in regulating the scraps, unfavorable publicity to IU, and the ultimate danger that scraps imposed on students. In the context of today's sports held at IU, these class scraps may seem a bit old-fashioned, if not just downright dangerous. However, at the time, they provided one of the only outlets for IU students to blow off steam and show their class spirit. They brought the entire school together for just a little while and taught the students how to work together to defeat a common enemy. These class scraps also made the students proud of being Hoosiers and proud of being a freshman or a sophomore. During scrapping season, these men were like family, defending their class's reputation and each other. So, in hindsight, we can look at these scraps fondly, both because of what they gave to IU students at the time, but also what they teach us about that time today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Keep an eye out for more podcasts about Indiana University. I'm Ellen Glover, and this was the Indiana University Bicentennial Podcast.